Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. And you know, I know I've said this to you before, but I pray that it be real food for you, that it would draw you closer to the Lord, that it would bring other people to know the Lord, because God so loves you, and He wants you to know Him and to follow Him, that we might all meet one another in heaven. So let's get on board, please, and join me as we look at the Feast of the Dedication of the Lateran Basilica. Now, what does that mean? I think this is important. This feast commemorates the dedication of St. John Lateran, the first Catholic Basilica of Rome, by Pope Sylvester in the year 324. The Lateran is the episcopal seat of the Bishop of Rome, the Pope. Above its towering 18th-century facade can be seen the image of Christ, triumphant, surrounded by saints and doctors. Every place set aside for divine worship is a sign of that spiritual temple, which is the Church made up of living stones, of the faithful united by one faith, of the participation in the sacraments, and the bond of charity. The saints in particular are precious stones of that spiritual temple. Those are words of St. John Paul II. Brothers and sisters, let me just say, I had the privilege of meeting him several times, and I was very taken by his simplicity, his joy, not standing on some major authority, you know, acting like, well, I'm the Pope, so you should do this or that. He just was like he was one of us, with us. And I think in a certain way, that's a sign of a saint. He didn't brag, he didn't boast. He just sat there and had a normal conversation like you would have with anybody else that you knew. I was very, very blessed by him, very blessed. And he tells us that the saints are precious stones of that spiritual temple. We want to be living stones in God's house. That's what we want to be. So let's take a look now at the first reading, from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 47, verses 1 to 2, then 8 to 9, and then 12. I know that's a little broken up, but I think you can get it. The angel brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water flowing out from beneath the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the facade of the temple was toward the east. The water flowed down from the southern side of the temple, south of the altar. He led me outside by the north gate and around to the outer gate facing the east, where I saw water trickling from the southern side. He said to me, "This water flows into the eastern district, down upon the Arabah, and then empties into the sea, the salt waters, which it makes fresh. Wherever the river flows, every sort of living creature that can multiply shall live, and there shall be abundant fish, for wherever this water comes, the sea shall be made fresh. Along both banks of the river, fruit trees of every kind shall grow. Their leaves shall not fade, nor their fruit fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, for they shall be watered by the flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit shall serve for food, and their leaves for medicine." Brothers and sisters, what can I say about this except that God wants to bring us into fullness of life? He loves us. He wants us to be one with Him, with all the others who are seeking to follow Him. When you've made a mistake, when you sinned, repent, and the slate is wiped clean. That's how God works. Please, brothers and sisters, these words are for us. Each of us is going to see the Lord soon. and we wonder what it's going to be like, or we're afraid. How can we be afraid of God's gifts? Psalm 46 tells us, the waters of the river gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in distress. Turn to Him always first. First, no matter how much help you need, always just say, Lord, help me. Therefore, we fear not, though the earth be shaken and mountains plunge into the depths of the sea. There is a stream whose runlets gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. God is in its midst. It shall not be disturbed. God will help it at the break of dawn. The Lord of hosts is with us. Our stronghold is the God of Jacob. Come, behold the deeds of the Lord, the astounding things He has wrought on earth. And you know, you and I are temples of God. You and I are a temple of the Lord. Do we live like that? Do we act out of that? That I belong to the Lord? Do I praise Him? Do I worship Him? Do I ask forgiveness when I fail? The waters of the river gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. We are a temple for God. Brothers and sisters, we would have a pretty hard time putting our minds around that, but it's the truth. That's what God promised. We take a look now at Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 9c to 11, and then 16 and 17. This is short. Brothers and sisters, you are God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But each one must be careful how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one that is there, namely Jesus Christ. We want to stand with the Lord, with Jesus, and turn toward the Father and say every day, Lord, help me. Help me to begin to live as I really am a temple of the Most High God. Please give me the grace to do that. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you, dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For the temple of God which you are is holy. Stop and think about that. Look at your daily life. It doesn't mean you have to go around looking pious. It doesn't mean like you have to go around with a veil around your head. It doesn't mean you have to put holy water on your brow. Just simply love Him day by day. Ask forgiveness when you know you failed Him right then. Ask forgiveness. If it's a serious sin, then go to confession. But brothers and sisters, God loves you, and He wants you part of His people. He wants you to be one, and not just by our outward thing, I go to Mass every Sunday and I pray the rosary every day, but do you love Him? Do you tell Him you love Him? Do you ask Him sometimes when you're a little uncertain about something, Lord, what would you have me do? Just give Him a few minutes to offer it. If nothing comes, then simply do what you planned on doing, but wait on Him, for He loves you. And then we have from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen, and he spilled the coins of the money changers, overturned their tables, And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? He dies on the cross, and on the third day he rises. People would have a hard time believing that until they saw him in the flesh. And brothers and sisters, God wants to save us for eternal life. We're weak, we make mistakes, we sin. Please, just go to confession. Even right away, just say to the Lord himself, "Lord, please forgive me for what I've done." And then go to confession and know that you have a clean slate. God loves you. Listen to the advice that the priest gives you. Please, because God wants you with him. He wants you with him for eternal life. You and me, can you imagine it? I don't know if it's possible, but if when I die, and those of you listening die, let's see if we can find each other. I think God would manage that. Brothers and sisters, open our eyes. Think about what awaits you. Look at what you're dealing right now with what awaits you. So much glory and goodness and peace and happiness await you if you follow him. Union with God follows. We have no words for that. But that is what is offered to you if when you sin, go to confession and get free. Please don't run away. God will never forgive me, or I'm too embarrassed, or it's too hard. God will give you the grace. Being embarrassed and too hard is in part a work of the enemy to try and keep you away from it. He's the one person, the only person, but he is the one person you can tell to go to hell. Tell him, go to hell where you belong, and then do what you know God wants of you, because he loves you so much. He's giving you every opportunity. Even if you've rejected it for years, turn now. Please turn now. Because Jesus is our Savior, and he wants to save us. Save us for eternal life. And then we can all meet together and be with one another. May God abundantly bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.